MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Jane with Harris Gore, Grovepoint Investment Management. They, of course, run the local AMC on the US private credit market. Harris, appreciate the time. A noisy but ultimately solid year for middle market direct lending. I want to start off with Liberation Day. And when I say noisy, I'm probably underselling it. But we chatted earlier in the year, and you commented back then that really Liberation Day was a pricing event, not a credit event. It was scary, but there weren't defaults.
Simon, I think that sums it up pretty well. There's been a lot of noise this year, and Liberation certainly got us off to a volatile start in April. And frankly, I think the expectation was, even from our side, that there would be more kind of credit knock-on events than were actually realized over the remainder of the year. And in fact, what we're seeing now is an improving kind of credit cycle. But we kind of thought tariffs would have more of an impact than they have had. I think the whole market kind of thought tariffs would have more of an impact.
Yeah.
What we saw in reality was that especially the US middle market was very, very resilient in the face of tariffs. There were a few subsectors that were impacted, mainly companies that were heavily reliant on Chinese imports. Mm-hmm. So in the toy sector, say, and some of the beauty and cosmetics. But these were very, very, very small parts of portfolios, if at all. So the ripple effect through the middle market just wasn't realized. And when we looked at it a bit more carefully over the year, we kind of know why, because when you look at those middle market companies, they produce, they manufacture, and they distribute in the US. And
yeah,
when you took a look at their kind of cost of goods sold, you saw almost less than 4% of their cost of goods sold were imported. So tariffs really did have very little impact. And from a Trump point of view, it probably wasn't the worst policy to, in fact, look to support those companies and support
some benefit from it. And the middle market, which is where the private credit predominantly goes to. So tariffs
actually
maybe just a benefit more than an issue. They're continuing to grow revenue. They're continuing to grow profits. And at the same time, the rates for their private creditors has actually been coming down. They're probably sitting in a better position than they were a year ago, perhaps.
We've certainly seen the credit cycle peak from what the numbers are telling us. So if you cast your mind back to, say, just over a year ago, September 2024, you had SOFR or the overnight, call it risk-free rate, or the Fed rate, whatever you want to label it as, sitting at around 5.5%. Mm-hmm. Today, we're sitting at 4%. So you've had 150 basis point cut in Fed fund rates. And these are really floating rate loans. The market is the floating rate market. So any borrower that was kind of had a decent business model but was running against kind of tight cash flows because of the sharp interest rate increases has had a lot of relief over the last 12 months. And we've seen that play through the numbers. So you've had on one end earnings growth, EBITDA growth, and on the other end, essentially your debts become cheaper. So we saw probably the peak in defaults in Q1, Q2 this year. Mm-hmm. And since then, the numbers have just improved. Interest coverage ratios, non-accruals are inside of kind of 10-year averages. So once again, speaking to how you started, it's been noisy, but the underlying fundamentals have been really solid and improving.
And there have been some blowups in the broader credit space, but not in the space that you're operating in, not in this private credit space, as I understand. And I appreciate, you know, every blowup is every headline loves them, but it hasn't been happening in this space from a fund perspective, as I see it.
Yeah, I think from a, call it social media or print point of view, it doesn't pay to write about everything's normal and, if anything, slightly improving. Tricolor and First Brands for us were very idiosyncratic blowups. Those were more recent blowups. The only thing that made those two kind of companies private credit in nature was the fact that they were unlisted companies.
Yeah.
Their debt was actually structured by banks, issued as syndicated loans or held in ABS vehicles, CLO vehicles. Mm-hmm. These are all kind of banking engineered debt stacks. So we had no exposure across any of our portfolio to either Tricolor or First Brands. And actually, Simon, when you look at the broader universe, so we see about 130, say, listed vehicles out there that you could invest in. We probably look at 45 of those and say those are high quality vehicles that we would invest in. And then you narrow that down to us holding 15 to 25 of those vehicles at any one time. Across our broader universe of, say, 45 investable, none of them had any exposure to those two names. So these weren't direct lending names. They weren't names that fit into direct lending portfolios. They were kind of more esoteric type credits.
Absolutely. And as we sit now, and you know, I've chatted about this before, is that funds you're buying, they trade, they sometimes get volatile, they trade at premium to NAV, and sometimes they trade at discount to NAV. And you make the point that you're seeing that discount to NAV there, which gives you an almost immediate uplift. You're kind of almost getting sort of equity-like potential returns from what is sort of really secured cash flow lending.
Simon, so when we look back, we saw another kind of we've seen a few of these instances over the last 10, 15 years. The last one really being kind of September 22, where we saw a big sell-off in the market. It was when rates started going up and everyone panicked and thought there was going to be a big kind of default cycle on the back of the Fed increasing rates as sharply as they did. The default cycle didn't materialize, but the entry point at that point was very attractive. And post that, we saw the strategy we run generate 20% in 2023, and I think 11% last year. Mm-hmm. And that was from this kind of discounted entry point. And we've seen that happen again with the recent headlines, the sell-off in the market. Once again, there have been fears about a default cycle. We're kind of seeing the fundamentals moving the other way, but prices in the listed market a few weeks ago were trading at 0.8 of book value. And what that effectively means is that you're buying a loan that's marked at 100. So if you're in one of these evergreen vehicles or semi-liquid vehicles or in a private credit fund, that loan remains marked at 100. And you're buying it in the listed market at 80 cents on the dollar. So that does two things. One, it juices up your returns when things normalize.
Yeah.
And or if things don't normalize and actually the listed kind of retail market is correct, which is not where we think it is at the moment, you're protecting your downside because you're already buying that loan at a discount to book value. So you're essentially kind of covering yourself for that first 20 cents of losses. And what we've seen in the amongst the high quality lenders is when these loans do go bad, they tend to recover a lot of their kind of value. Mm. So you really are getting a far more attractive trade buying into the listed market at these levels, both on the downside and the upside.
And the upside. And within, I mean, we're talking, you don't go and buy a single loan. There are thousands of loans packaged in these.
It's another advantage of trading in the NASDAQ and New York Stock Exchange listed vehicles is that each vehicle has anything from 70 to 500 loans, depending on the manager and how large the vehicle is. In our current portfolio, I think we have 3,580 loans or 3,580 borrowers.
Yeah.
And Arthur, we've touched on this a few times over the years that when you're investing in credit, if you can get to a certain quality of credit, so you want high quality credit, senior secured lending, good lenders, guys who can get in there and work out loans that go bad. And then you want as much diversification as possible because your yield's always going to be that 10, 11%. That's kind of where that private credit market trades. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get paid 15% suddenly because the company is doing well. So you don't want the, call it alpha you get from an equity fund where you want a manager to put their neck on the line and concentrate their positions. In this type of strategy, you really want as much diversification as you can get while sticking away from or staying away from cyclical sectors and kind of more volatile performers and more esoteric names like the ones we've seen more recently in the headlines.
We'll leave it there. Harris Gore, Growthpoint Investment Management. Appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.